We realize that we come for a purpose, and that is to worship God and to serve Him to the best of our ability and to be increased in our faith and our strength. And as Cohen pointed out, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our world, and sometimes we don't understand them. We don't understand why God allows certain things, but we know that God is in charge, and He is the one that is whatever He allows to happen, it works out for our good if we love God, according to Romans chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, Solomon the king wrote, he says, "Listen to your fathers who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Now you think about that, what Solomon is saying there. He says, and I'm going to look especially at verse 23. He says there, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, and also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Well, too often, maybe in life, we don't place enough or a high enough premium on knowing what God's will is. Sometimes we kind of go along our own way, and we maybe stray away from the time of taking time to study and to learn and to serve. And our actions sometimes indicate we become complacent, and maybe we don't really, even in our actions, show others around us that the importance of the truth which God has revealed to us. In John 8 and verse 32, Jesus says there, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, if you read the verse just before that, he says, "If you abide in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So it is in the word of God, the message of God to us, of all of mankind, that we gain understanding. And he says that will make us free. And if it makes us free, free from sin and free from the consequences of sin, it makes us free in our decision to serve God every day, then it must be really important. Freedom comes, though, with a high price, whether it's in this world. And we know in times past, many people have given their lives for the cause of freedom for others who are around them. And that's been done. And we sometimes, maybe we understand it in this physical realm, but the spiritual realm is just as, if not more important, that we understand the truth and live accordingly. Now, there are some people in our day, and probably have always been some, that have the idea that truth is just relative, that there's not really any set standard of right and wrong, and this is true and that's not true. And some think, well, and I've talked to people before who would say, well, what's true for you is not necessarily true for me. That it's all what we think and what we feel, and that determines it. It just depends on the situation in which you find yourself. But that's always been a problem for man. Somehow we tend to rebel against the idea of a set standard of truth and the authority that has over us. And so people have rebelled against God. But man himself, we as humankind, we often rebel against God's way. But we ought to understand that the situation is what not determines what's right and wrong. It's the standard that God sets for you and me, that we are to live accordingly, or we will pay the consequences of not doing so. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said there, "It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps." In other words, the way that we live every day in life is not up to us to decide. We can't decide just on our own, well, I'm going to live this way and not the other way, and because that's what I think is right and what I think is okay, and it doesn't make any difference anyway. Well, it does. In fact, it does make a difference. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Truth is a vital thing to our life on earth and also for our eternal salvation. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the same King Solomon said there, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So just because it seems right to us, and I've had people tell me, "Well, I can feel it in my heart, therefore it has to be right." Well, that is not necessarily the case. Just because we want something, just because it feels right to us, doesn't necessarily make it right before God. So Solomon says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we can't depend upon our conscience and upon our own thoughts and ideas to determine right and wrong. That's why Solomon says in this passage, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, and also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." So we look at that, and we have to understand then what God wants us to know from this particular passage. Well, first of all, we have to understand that truth is important in every area of life. Just for example, we need to be warned about the dangers around us in life every day. Now, for example, if we start feeling bad and we have an understand that we've got some kind of serious illness, we can't just decide to treat it on our own. We have to find someone who can help us with that, and so that we will get better after a period of time. And we understand that because if we let things go, ultimately they might get much worse and even cause our own death if we don't do something about it. And so we need to understand what needs to be done and act accordingly. If we have, for example, an unsturdy ladder at our house and we keep going up and down it, well, eventually, if it's unsturdy, it's going to fall, and we're going to be injured or even killed by that. So we have to understand the danger that is involved, and we have to be warned about it. If we know the truth about these things and the potential dangers, we can sometimes avoid them, or we can do something that we can mediate that particular danger to us. And so we have this opportunity. So we can see that in the physical realm, but what about the spiritual? The same is true there. The principle is still the same. We need to know the truth if we are living in sin. If we're living in opposition to God and His will, we need to know that. Now, it's not always pleasant. Maybe sometimes we don't really want to face up to it. But the Bible very plainly tells us that there are consequences to the sin that we commit. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul says, "The wages of sin is death." Death there is separation from God for all of eternity. That's what we deserve. That's what we earn. We work at a job, and over a period of time, we get paid for what we have done. That's our wages. That's what we earned. Well, Paul says the wages of sin is death. But fortunately for us, he didn't stop there. Because the same verse, he says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." So there is a penalty to be paid for our sin if we're not willing to face up to it and act accordingly and repent and come back to the Lord and serve Him. And it also stands to reason that if we can have wrong in our life and we need to know about it in the physical world, we need to be warned about the way we are living if we're straying away. And that's one of the things we have for each other. It's one of the reasons why we meet together as God's people, that we can be encouraged and strengthened and help others along the way. Because there's always others around us who are having trouble and struggling with sins and problems in their life. And sometimes maybe we're a little higher up right now and we're doing well and we can help them along the way. Because just as sure as we get that place, ultimately we're going to fall back down and we're going to need someone else's help too. And so we help each other along the way. In the book of Galatians, the Bible tells us in chapter 6 that we are to help those who are falling, and we who are spiritual help them to come back to the Lord. And we're supposed to do that. But also Jesus often used a physical story or a parable to tell a spiritual truth. And he did that so that the people could understand the concept in everyday life and apply that spiritually so that they could live a better life before the Lord. It's better to know the truth even if it's going to be a difficult one for us than to not know it. So we can do something about it. If we're straying away from God and need to repent and come back, we can do that. And we can do that before it's too late, because someday the day of judgment's going to arrive. And we're going to give an account for what we have done in this life. Solomon said at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, because there will come a day in which God will judge all of us. The truth, of course, needs to be told us so it can lead to life here in this life, the best that we can live, but also eternal life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And he wasn't just talking about eternal life there. He was talking about the life we're living right now. He said, I came to give you the best life you can have now and for all of eternity. But also, deceit leads us to destruction, and it will every time, eventually. Also, the truth is so valuable, it should be bought at any price. Now, someone might say, well, how can you buy the truth? That's a kind of an abstract concept. Well, there is a price that has to be paid for the truth of God. Well, what is that for you and me? It's nothing of a physical nature. We can't take out enough out of our bank account and make a down payment upon truth, because that's not what truth is. It, regardless of how much money we have in life, how much status we have in the community, or the lack of either one of those things, that makes no difference whether we're able to buy the truth and not sell it. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, Isaiah says, He that has no money, come and buy, and he says there, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, he's not talking about literal wine and milk. He's talking about the blessings of God. He says, you come, you don't have to buy, purchase with gold or silver or whatever, the blessings of God. We believe Him, we obey Him, we follow Him, and those blessings are going to be given. So we have to understand there is a price to pay. Well, what is that price for us? Well, first of all, we have to spend time in seeking after the truth. We're not going to just sit down and wait for truth to come to us. There are some religious people in the world that have the concept that you go out in the forest somewhere and you kneel down by a tree and sit there for a day or two or a week or whatever it might be, and somehow truth will come upon you. Well, God says that's not the way it comes. We have to be active in our seeking of the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy there, study to show yourself approved unto God. Another translation in that particular passage translates the idea, he says, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. Study and give diligence. In other words, put forth an effort to understand the truth and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And in seeking that truth, it requires a concerted effort on our part. Whether we take time a few moments a day to read and to study, or we have a specific idea about how we're going to do it, and maybe we study a topic or an idea over a period of time, as long as we're studying and learning what the Word of God says, it's going to be an increase in our strength and our faith and our knowledge. Well, God wants us to have that. But in our seeking also, we need to seek all of the truth. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus when he had called them together, he said, I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. In other words, I told you, elders at Ephesus, I didn't shrink back from just telling you a little bit here and a little bit there. He says, I let you have the whole thing. I told you everything that you needed to know and needed to understand. But there are so many people in the world that they want to pick and choose one passage here and one passage there. And that kind of stands up for what they think the Bible ought to be teaching, because that's how they've made up their minds. But we need to take the whole counsel of God on everything, whether it's our sin or living a Christian life, or any of the things that are important in the Word of God and in our life every day, physically and spiritually. So we have to take time to know what Paul described there as the whole counsel of God, to study as much as we can, and some will understand more than others, but we should always try to understand and know more than we possibly have ever thought. And God will bless us if we'll have that attitude about knowing and understanding the will of God. In Acts chapter 10, when the Apostle Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius, Cornelius was a Roman military officer, and he called together all his friends and his family, waiting for the Apostle Peter to get there for to hear the message of the Word of God. When Peter arrived, Cornelius said to him, "We are all here gathered together this day to hear whatever God or the Lord has spoken to you concerning us." Well, that's the attitude we're talking about here. Many people today don't want to know the truth, and others really do want to know it. And because sometimes they don't want to know the truth because they are convicted of their own sin if they realize what has gone, what the Word of God says. Now turn for a moment over to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter, of course, there is speaking to us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him and written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking things of these things, which are, and some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures." Now, to be sure, we're not always going to understand everything we read. But Peter says, you do it anyway, you study it anyway. He says, now it's interesting to me that Peter the apostle says that Paul the apostle wrote some things that are hard to understand. If you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you can understand that some are difficult. And Peter acknowledged that fact, but he says, continue to study, because he is writing to you, and the same thing I'm writing to you, that we have to face these things and take time to study and to learn. But notice he says about those, he says, some twist the scriptures, not necessarily the difficult things to understand, but even the easy things to understand. He says they twist those around to their own destruction. And so we need to know not only what the Bible says, but we need to try to put it into practice to the best of our ability. And again, there's always going to be some things that we may not understand. But God knows our hearts and our minds, that we're trying to do the best that we can. There is a great need to accept the truth after it is found. James 1:25, James says, "He that looks into the perfect law of liberty and so continues in, not being a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man should be blessed in his doing." So he says, don't read it and then just go away and forget about it and forget what God said, but put it into practice every day. And that's how we are going to serve God. And that's how we buy the truth. But also there's the other side of that. The truth is so valuable that it should not be sold at any price. Well, how can we sell the truth? Well, first of all, by not seeking it. Sitting back and thinking, well, maybe I know enough already. I don't need to study much more. And there's people that have that kind of attitude, I suppose. But also the catch is no one never knows everything we can. There's always something else that we have not thought of. And even when we read the Word of God on a regular basis, sometimes we'll come to a point and an idea that I've never thought of that before. We should not be content not to continue to study. Now, for example, in this life, if we're would we go to a physician or a doctor, for example, that had not studied updates in medical science or anything for 20 or 30 or 40 years, we might think, well, he's not up on what the basic things are to heal us from what we have, and so maybe we wouldn't do that. Well, same principle is spiritual, because we want to go to the great physician because he is always up on everything that we need spiritually to be forgiven. Why would we be content with Bible knowledge that we thought we knew 20 or 30 years ago, but have never taken time to study again and maybe get a better understanding of it. Just because someone else tells us we've come to a right conclusion doesn't necessarily make it so. We have to spend time and effort to study and to learn further. It can be so by accepting something in its place. Many people in the world accept all kinds of philosophies and teachings of some great philosopher over here or there, wherever he might have been. There's an example in the Bible, in the books of, especially of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Well, one of the great things that they talked about and their warnings to the people of Israel was that they were following and going after astrology and other kinds of pagan teachings of their time, which the Chaldeans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and others placed their faith in those things. And they thought the position of the stars and the sun and the moon and all of those things affected everything in life, and that's how we determine what the future is going to be. Well, Jeremiah and Isaiah both warned them very specifically about those philosophies of man. That's just one example of them. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, Jeremiah said to the Israelites of his day, who were coming very close to the time of being taken into captivity because they'd rejected God's will, he says, Jeremiah 10 verse 2, he says, "Learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them." So you don't go after their ways and their teachings and their philosophies. You go back and follow the will of God. Truth, of course, needs to be accepted in our lives and our hearts and minds so we truly can understand what God wants us to do, how we are to live. I'll turn for a moment to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25, and he says there in Hebrews 10, 25, he says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." One of the reasons we come together is to be an example and a strength to others who are around us. And he says then in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no longer a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and the fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose we will be thought worthy who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant which he has sanctified a common thing, and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" In other words, if we turn away from God and we turn away from hearing his will and following it to the best of our ability, it is as if we trodden underfoot the blood which Jesus shed for you and me upon the cross. So we sell the truth if we turn away from the teachings of the Lord. It can be sold by turning away our ears from hearing anything else that could cause us to be better understanding of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Paul told Timothy there, "There will come a time when they shall turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables." They won't listen to the truth anymore. We can't put ourselves in that position. If we willfully turn away from the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that God will send a strong delusion and he will allow us to believe a lie and be condemned. Now, it is not God's will that we can be condemned. It's not his will that we believe a lie. But if in our mind that's what we want to believe, he will allow it. But we will stand before him on the day of judgment, unprepared for that judgment, will be cast out of his presence forever. Everything, we also have to understand that everything we hear is not necessarily the truth, even though it may be presented in that way. Romans 1:25, Paul talking about the sins of the Gentile nations before him and during his life upon the earth. He says, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie." That's what they did. They, at one point in time, they may have known the truth of God, but they exchanged that for the lies of Satan and God and turned away from God's will. They didn't want to know what was true. They didn't want to know what God wanted them to understand. At 1 John 4, verse 1, John says there, "Believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Well, how do we prove? How do we test the false prophets and the teachings of man? Well, we go back to the Word of God. That's the foundation. That's the standard. Cain, for example, told a lie to God. He says, "Where is your brother?" He says, "Well, I don't know where my brother is." Well, God says, "Well, am I my brother's keeper?" Well, Cain wanted God to say, "No, you're not." But God says, "Yes, you are your brother's keeper." And he says, "His blood cries up now against you because you've killed him." Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, they sold their possessions and brought it to Peter and the other apostles. And Peter said, "Is this what you sold the amount for?" They said, "Yes, that's it." Well, it wasn't. They held back part of it. As long as it was in their possession, they could have given any part of it to the Lord and held back whatever they wanted. And God would have been pleased with them. But they wanted the glory of giving all when they didn't actually do it. And they both lied to God, lied to the Holy Spirit, and they were struck dead because of that. Now, many today try to change the truth of God, the truth of the Bible, into their own way. There are false teachers everywhere around claiming to speak for God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 4, though, the Bible says, "Let God be found true, but every man a liar." God's going to be found true no matter what people say. So we have to understand what the truth of God is. There are many people, of course, then who want to find what God says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." So ask and seek and knock, and God wants to reveal the message to us. We have to put forth an effort to receive it, to believe it, and to obey it. So we go back to what Solomon said: buy the truth and sell it not. You know, buying the truth means we put forth the effort to believe and to serve, to study and to learn, and put it into practice. Selling it means we turn our back upon God's way, and we go our way, but we'll suffer the consequences. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That's as true now today as it was when Jesus said it. And every day that this world stands from now on, it will continue to be the truth of God. We have to accept it, believe it, and to obey it. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, that invitation is open to all of us. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand as we sing.